And welcome into the game. Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fortner with you for the next couple of hours, leading you up to coverage of Kansas State baseball. It's another Big 12 series that the Wildcats are hoping to get the ship righted out at Toynton Family Stadium. Should be solid weather this weekend. Go out and see the Wildcats take on the number 6 team in the country, Texas Tech. Game 1 of that series starts at 6:30. We will have pregame coverage starting at 6 o'clock. On today's show, we will have the head coach of the K-State women's basketball team, Jeff Mitty, is going to join us on the show. We can talk to him about his reflections on K-State's season that concluded a couple of weeks ago. Plus, K-State adds a player to the 2017 class and a player that will be playing right away for the Wildcats. We will ask him about her. Also, you'll hear from K-State linebacker Sam Sizelove, who met with the media earlier this week, hear his perspective on K-State's linebacker situation, having a lot of production to replace, but the Wildcats appear to be in pretty good position to do that, at least to the indications that we have thus far. I have a hot take on Big 12 football and a trend that has been taking place within the Big 12 over the last couple of weeks. You'll hear about that in the second hour. A transfer from Memphis to Kansas to play basketball has a Snapchat video from that transfer has him in hot water. Plus, we'll have You Can't Be Serious at 5:30. If you want to give us a call, 537-1350, 866-776-1350. We are live here from the KMAN Studio and Spa. Studio and Spa is what it is today, as once again, our air conditioning is on the fritz. So I had to come into the studio and strip down a little bit today. I'm just in my T-shirt here because I'm trying to keep things as comfortable as possible. Fortunately, neither of us are on television, so we don't have to worry about looking that great. It's just all about staying comfortable.
You could probably hear the fan going.
Yeah, a little bit in my headphones, but I'm not sure if the listeners can hear it,
well,
which is the
thing
important
is, you don't understand how hot it gets in here. It gets very hot because these walls are cinder block. It's completely cement, but because these studios double as a tornado shelter.
Right.
In case bad weather rolls in, we need somewhere to go because there isn't a basement here at 2414 Casement Road. So it gets hot, and so I got the fan running, but there is actually somebody working on it right now.
Yeah,
I
just saw
that.
Someone going through there, so hopefully we can get things cooled down a little bit. I'm sorry that if my hot take in the second hour just reverses the trend and breaks the air conditioner again, that's very possible. But yeah, that's what we're dealing with here. Plus, we have all this equipment. That's what really gets it warm in here is all the equipment that we have in here, the computers and monitors, everything like that. It gets warm in a hurry, but we're going to deal with it, and we'll be just fine. It's not like it's 100 degrees outside or anything like that. This is a transition I'm going to make here. You know who's not hot right now? The Kansas City Royals. That was a pretty easy one, low-hanging fruit, but I think it's appropriate. The Royals fall last night once again to the Oakland Athletics, 8-3. It was not as close as the lopsided score would indicate, as the Athletics led it 8-0. After the sixth inning, the Royals did score 3 runs kind of in garbage time, a couple of runs in the eighth and a run in the ninth. But the loss drops Kansas City to 2-6 on the season. They're now 0-2 at home. And the Athletics, while they are 5-4, I mean, they are generally picked to finish last in the American League West. This is not a team that the Royals should be dropping series to, and in the case of tonight, could potentially be getting swept by if they are unable to win tonight. And it's starting to get a little bit concerning, but everyone has their own measure of when it is officially time to panic, because if you look at it mathematically, the Royals are 8 games in. That's like around 6% of the season, I believe. So that's a smaller amount than playing one, you know, game in the college football season. So from that perspective, you can say that there's no reason to be concerned. It's still way, way early. The Royals have basically their entire season still in front of them. But what gets people concerned is the trends that we have seen in these 8 games up to this point and the potential for those to not improve enough over the course of the rest of the season to get things figured out. I'm talking about the bullpen. And even more so at this point, I'm talking about the offense, which has ranked toward the bottom of baseball so far in just about every category.
Oh, yeah, it's still pretty bad. They did get 8 hits yesterday. It was actually pretty good compared to the rest of the season so far. And the Royals in the eighth inning broke a 19-inning scoreless streak, which, if you recall, they were shut down on Monday, so of course they didn't score at all. And so you go back to that Houston series, the last time they scored, which also you add the extra innings that Kansas City didn't score. So the offense had been in a major, major slump. And we saw it early yesterday where I think Kansas City, they're taking bad swings. They're swinging at some bad pitches. Eric Hosmer's guilty of this. I think Lorenzo Cain has been doing all right. I think Salvi is right now, you're probably, I mean, I don't know where everybody's, where their average is at, their on-base percentage, but right now, probably Prez is swinging the bat better than anybody else.
Yeah, Cain did go 3-for-4 last night to get his average over 300. He's now at 308, but he is the only Royal that is batting over 300 right now. And besides him, if you took his 3-for-4 out of it, the Royals last night as a team were 5-for-31, which is not ideal.
Let's not leave off where the pitchers. I mean, this was a collective effort once again to lose this ball game. Ned Yost said after the game he just wasn't a fan of Jason Hammel last night, who didn't make it through five innings. He started to really struggle in the third and fourth inning where there were leadoff doubles, and you know, the A's were just able to bring those guys around to score, and it only took a couple swings of the bat to get that done. And then Wood, Chris Young come in. They both give up a couple runs. But, I mean, granted to the two call-ups yesterday, Alexander and Junis, who Junis made his major league debut yesterday. He got the bases loaded, but he was able to, you know, get a double play ball.
But, you know,
luckily.
Man, that just sounds so much like what this neither of us obviously were on the show 10 years ago, but that's what the conversation would have been on the show back for the 2006 Royals. Well, man, everybody was bad, but hey, let's give an attaboy to the call-ups that came in and did a nice job. That's not the highlights that you're supposed to be looking for. And the Royals, statistically, I just mentioned this a little bit, but they are 10th in the majors in home runs so far. They do have 11 of them, so they have been hitting with some power early on, which is nice. But everything else has been really bad, and even the home runs themselves have not been great, as 10 out of those 11 home runs have been solo shots. So they have not driven in a lot of runs with that power thus far. The Royals, by the way, for some context, out of 30 teams in baseball, they are 28th in batting average. They are batting 199 as a team. They are under the Mendoza line as a team right now. They are 30th in on-base percentage at .268. They are 29th in runs scored with 24 runs so far, and they are dead last in doubles with 7. And I saw a stat today that there are actually some players that have more doubles so far this season than the Kansas City Royals as a team. You can say that it's just a slump and they're going to break out of it, and you're probably right to a certain extent. I certainly don't think the Royals are going to bat 199 all season. But in order for them to be a playoff team, they don't just have to break out of it and then bat 220, 230. I mean, we're talking about them making a complete turnaround in order for them to compete in the AL Central, and it may happen. It's too early to say definitively that it won't, but there are more and more fans that are feeling like it won't, and it's getting harder and harder to argue with those people.
And right now, Kansas City's another big issue when it comes to offense is they're giving themselves chances. I mean, there's not a team in baseball that, you know, goes through a 3 or 4 inning stretch where they're just sat down 9 or 12 in a row. That just happens. But a lot of teams are able to get out of that funk once they see a pitcher, you know, kind of get going. They've seen an at bat. They've seen what the guy throws. But Kansas City, we've seen it a lot already this year where, you know, you'll get a leadoff double or leadoff singles, you know, get to second base, advance to second base, and you just can't get that guy home. As a matter of fact, this season so far, with runners in scoring position, Kansas City is 8 of 52.
Yep, I was just looking at that. That is a 154 clip.
Ugh.
And that ranks 28th in baseball as well. Just only the Seattle Mariners and Toronto Blue Jays are worse. By the way, Toronto, look, I know that we're focused on how bad the Royals have been, but Toronto's a team that you expect to be really good offensively, and they have been a disaster so far early in this season. Kendrys Morales is, of course, their new designated hitter, and he does have a grand slam that everybody pointed out, but Toronto has been really bad, and they are 1-7 thus far, and they are the one team that has scored fewer runs than the Royals so far. They have scored 23 so far this season, so the Royals are not the worst team in baseball, but the offense is not at a level that is going to lead this team to the playoffs or anything close. And the starting rotation is improved from a year ago, but you would have to have five Clayton Kershaws going out there for your rotation for this offense as it currently is to give you a chance to win, you know, at least 85 games and be in contention for the playoffs, in my opinion. The Royals will continue or finish that series tonight against the Oakland A's. That game gets started at 7:15. It'll be Jason Vargas on the mound for KC. He is 1-0 this season with a 1.50 ERA, so he has been solid thus far, although this is, you know, obviously only making his second start of the year. It'll be Han going for Oakland, who's nothing and nothing with a 3.00 ERA. After the A's leave town, the Angels will be coming in for the weekend series Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Kauffman Stadium.
I was getting ready to mention that because as of right now, the Angels are, you know, I don't know if you can really read a lot into this, but they're right now in first place of the AL West.
Yeah, they've had a solid start to the year. They're 6-3.
They've done very well. I mean, obviously, they have a ton of talent on offense. We all know what Mike Trout and company. That's no secret. But San Francisco comes in after that. You start interleague play at home. So this is what's key about this stretch right now, including tonight, six games at home left on this homestand. I mean, that's enough time, enough games to completely change the mind of Royals fans right now. There's a lot of time for improvement. And the nice thing about the San Francisco, it's a two-game series. You're going to miss Madison Bumgarner.
Actually,
more than likely.
I was just looking at this because next Wednesday is my birthday. I'm not going to be here because I'm going to the Royals game next Wednesday, the 19th. Listed starter for the Giants is Madison Bumgarner.
Unless their schedule is different than what I'm seeing, but
okay. I'm looking on ESPN right now. It's got Madison Bumgarner and Jason Vargas.
I was going to say there's a chance I doubt Duffy will pitch in that series.
Well, man, that's kind of a good news, bad news situation because I don't want the Royals facing Madison Bumgarner, but if they're going to, I mean, at the very least, I'm glad that I get to be there and see it in person. Hopefully they put him into the lineup and let him hit because that's what people really want to see with Mad Bum right now after he hit two home runs on opening day. But, yeah, I've got that to look forward to next week. I just hope that I'm not going to see a team that you already feel is not going to be going anywhere and maybe trying to sell off its pieces when we get closer to the trade deadline. That's still a long way down the road, but it's not been good through eight games thus far for the Royals. Still a lot coming up on the show. We will be joined by the head coach of the K-State women's basketball team, Jeff Mitty, in the second hour. A hot take of mine on Big 12 football. But when we come back, the K-State linebacker situation has gotten a lot of talk this spring with the departure of Shamiquel Moore and Elijah Lee. There's a lot to replace. But things are looking up, and you'll hear it straight from one of the guys who's going to be on the field quite a bit as a result of all this, Sam Sizelove. You'll hear from him next on The Game.